Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We've been going through Psalm 34, and we're wrapping up our time together in Psalm 34 today. We're going to be doing days 6 and 7 together today. Normally, we just do one day, but today, because it's the last day of our study, and we're wrapping up the question time, and we have our Create and Share day, I thought I'd just go ahead and bring them both together. So grab your coffee, your Bible lesson, and let's go ahead and get into the Word and have some fun together today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for the time that we'll have together in your Word today. We love you. We're so thankful for the way that your amazing living Word redirects our life and softens our heart and reminds us that you've got us when we turn to you. So we come to you in your in the Word today, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us to hear from you in a humble way today. Bless our time now together and all those listening in and joining us in as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Word together. I'm going to switch screens. Those of you who are listening on the podcast, you just grab your paper and follow along. And you can imagine me switching screens, but those of you who are listening, here we go. Ta-da! Hi. All right, let's go ahead. And again, we're on lessons one, and this is day 6. We've been memorizing Psalm 34, verse 8. And today, as we reread through Psalm 34, I want us to think about the very first question. So it's in our mind as we're going through. And the first question here in today's study is to list verses in Psalm 34 that mention God's deliverance or saving power. So let's go ahead and hop over there to Psalm 34. I'm reading out of the New International Version this week. And I've gone ahead and highlighted some ahead of time in this lesson. And they're highlighted in yellow there on the screen. So let's read and get into the Word. And then we'll pause and we'll really make sure we're memorizing Psalm 34:8 together as well. Here we go. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. So there we go, right there in verse 4. God delivers from all my fears. And David is giving this enthusiastic reminder of how God has delivered him, and it's a testimony to us as well. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved them all out of all his troubles. There it is again, God saving. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and we talked about this in our previous day, right? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers him. And here's our memory verse. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. How are you doing on that? You got it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I don't know. Maybe we can make a little song, get a little rhythm in there. All right. Verse 9. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. We went ahead and highlighted that. And then also in the next verse, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. As a form of deliverance, that we don't have anything that we need because God is providing. He's delivering us out of lack and giving us bounty, right? Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He, what? Right. He delivers them. He delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those, there it is again, those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Of course, we have troubles. It's not like we're living this easy peasy life, right? Dealing with a lot of trouble, stressed and difficult times, right? But the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects. There's that idea of deliverance as well. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. What do we get when we come to God. Rescue, deliverance, being brought out, being saved, protected, not lacking anything. That's our God, right? Okay, so over here on the lesson, list those verses, write them there in that opening question space. Don't forget to write your Bible verse also, Psalm 34:8. And then the second question here is, what is a common connection between God and the kinds of people he delivers? Let's go back and take a look. I think you probably are seeing that connection already, or maybe you remember. But we have the afflicted. That's a common connection. Go ahead and highlight that. Let's do green. And those who seek the Lord delivers. I see this, the result of it is their face is radiant, but what kind of people does God deliver? Well, David refers to himself as a poor man. Another, poor, not like financially poor, but poor as in, I have nothing to offer God. It's just, I'm just going to come to him, right? I'm a poor man. The Lord heard him. He saved him from his troubles, all right? So what we also start to see, though, is this idea of the fear of God. These are the kinds of people that God delivers. Fear the Lord. And we highlight that also in green. Those who fear him lack nothing. I will teach you, he says in verse 11, the fear of the Lord. Whoever loves your life desires to see many good days. Keep your tongue from evil, lips from telling lies. Turn from evil, do good, seek peace. Because why? Those are all characteristics of the righteous. They turn from evil. They don't let their tongue get involved in evil speech. And they're righteous, in other words. They're turning to God without having any of this on their heart as they come to him. The righteous, it says, cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their trouble. The Lord is close to who? What kind of people? Broken-hearted people, not proud-hearted people, not people who come to him with all of their deeds and all the things they've done for God. The poor who come to God, okay? Righteous, broken-hearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. There's another characteristic. A righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. All right. And evil saying, da, 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 Lord, refuge in that. Okay. There we go. Those are the basic details of that answer, right? What common connection do you see? Righteous people exemplifying that they come to God acknowledging nothing of their own. They're brokenhearted. They're crushed in their spirit. They realize they have nothing to give God, and they just come to God without lying on their lips, without pretense, without a proud heart, without all my accomplishments. This is how I've done it for you, God, and you need to, you know, deliver me now. Nope, broken in spirit. Come to God in humility. So what kind of people is David describing in Psalm 34:19, and what happens to them? Two things. Let's take a look at Psalm 34 and verse 19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all his bones. None of them will be broken. I guess I went over to verse 20, but it's a righteous person. And what does he say? What kind of people? He's righteous people. What happens to them? Many troubles, right? They got troubles, but what's the result? God delivers them. Okay. So again, we want to make sure that when we're applying the Bible to our life, when we're looking to God, when we're living this Christian life, the followers of Christ will live, that we're not having this expectation that somehow trusting in God, being a Christian, getting on the right team, is also this guarantee of a lack of affliction, a lack of troubles. We have to expect the trouble. We're not in heaven. We're not on this side of heaven. I mean, we're not on that side of heaven. We're on this side, right? And so expect it, but look to God in the middle of it for deliverance. So here's a personal question for you. What hinders you from finding peace in difficult times? I'm curious about your thoughts on that. When I look back on the times in my life where I have not felt peace, or I've been struggling to find peace, over and over and over and over again, the common thread for me is entitlement. I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. This isn't how I wanted things to work out. I didn't want this relationship to be so broken. I didn't want that connection with a relationship to be so abusive. I didn't deserve it. I didn't go in there trying it. And why is it happening to me? And that's, it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel right. It hurts. And I don't have peace. Why? Because I have an entitlement mindset. I have an expectation of things should happen to me in a good way because I did good. I was faithful. I was right. And so therefore everything should work out. And I don't have peace as a result. And you sit there wondering, maybe I did something wrong. And that's why I don't have, you know, something good in return. But David is very clear in the psalm, and it's a fabulous reminder to us all that many are the troubles of the afflicted, and of the righteous. I mean, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Those who actually do trust God, those who are being right, still have trouble. But we turn to God anyway. We come to Him anyway. And that's been the sea of chill that we've been focusing on in this study. So go ahead and write a verse from Psalm 34 that speaks to your heart today. And I'm going to write for me this verse here. I'm going to back up. And where's the brokenhearted one? Brokenhearted. Isn't that funny? When I go to look for something, it's like, oh, here it is, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Instead of the proud heart or entitled heart or I wish it would have turned out this way heart, it's a broken heart. It's just, I'm open, I'm broken open, and that's how I want to be when I come before God. And I want God to call my attention to any time that I might be living it otherwise, when I'm living with a proud heart or an entitled heart. I want to have a broken heart. I want to have a crushed spirit so I can come to God with that heart and that mindset, because those are the kinds of people that God hears. All right. So that wraps up our question and answer days of this lesson. And day 7, or the final day of all of our studies through the Dwelling Richly series, is always going to be some kind of a bring it together and get it out there and share it. So let me go ahead and read that for you today so you can see what we're doing together. At the close of each lesson in this study, you'll have time to reflect on what you've learned and how you've grown. Enjoy that growth and the confidence in God you're gaining, but don't keep it to yourself. Share it. That's what this day of the study is for. Consider how studying this psalm is impacting your life spiritually, emotionally, relationally. The first step in our chill approach to living with confidence and peace is to come to God. David, there shouldn't be an and there. David danced and cried out to God. He got close enough to taste God in a sense. Create an image to express how you see yourself coming to God. You can use the space below to draw or create a collage. Maybe you can take a photo and write about it. Some people find it easy to express themselves creatively. Others find it challenging. Don't feel pressured to create something, but do allow yourself to grow in this area, even if it's not the most natural thing to you. This isn't school. No one's going to grade you. Enjoy it and let your creative juices flow. I really do want to reach out and encourage those of you who close off on this last day and like, I'm not creative. I don't want to do this part. I'm going to challenge you today and let that part of you out. Maybe you always felt like the dumb kid in this area growing up, like you couldn't draw and you couldn't be creative. You couldn't write a poem. You couldn't get your words together. You know what? Relax. This isn't school. No one's going to judge you. Draw a stick figure, cut and paste, go online and find an image that speaks to you. Pray about it and ask God to help you to get in touch with that part of your relationship with Him, that creative part. And then also the blessing that you'll have in pulling it together and really thinking it through and then sharing it with somebody else. This is day 7, and I did combine it together with day 6. So maybe you need the time to just say, all right, I'm going to digest day 6. I'm going to come back here again tomorrow and do day 7 another time when I feel like I can think it through. You do that, but don't skip it. Let this be a part of your growing in your walk with the Lord. And then share what you've created. You can just text it to a friend, give them some encouragement. You could share it on social media, or you could just connect with a friend who's also in this study and share what you both came up with over a cup of coffee. And I'd love to see it too. Feel free to share it with me. And my contact information, of course, is in the opening of this study. So here's the space that you can use. Fill it in right there. Get another piece of paper, write it in your journal. Don't forget also to handwrite out Psalm 34. At the end of this study, those of you who are with us the whole time, you'll have all of the Psalms in the study handwritten. What a wonderful way to move into the possibility of even writing all of the entire book of Psalms, 150 of them. But you'll have at least four of them written by the end of this study. So have fun with that. All right. That's it for today. And again, we combined lesson six and lesson, or day six and day seven of this lesson together. But you take your time and do it in 2 days. But do share it. Have fun with it. And I look forward to hearing from you and seeing the result of your efforts in that as well. So make my day too. Make me smile when I see what you're doing. All right. I look forward to being back with you again real soon. Some of you will be able to come together and join us this coming Tuesday or Wednesday at our in-person studies right here at La Mirada Church. And so, of course, we meet on Tuesday mornings at 9:30 or Wednesday nights at 6:30. So looking forward to seeing you guys then. Until then, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.